let's look at what's going on, or what we think is going on, in Xinjiang. On Tuesday, mobs of thousands of Han Chinese surged towards the Uyghur neighbourhoods, brandishing shovels, cleavers, other makeshift weapons, in a bid to exact vengeance for the weekend's violence. Now, Chinese troops have been pouring into the region for the last few days in an effort to quell the unrest, and the situation is so serious that the Chinese president has cancelled his appearance at the G8 in Italy. Now, joining me now to discuss it further, Willie Lam, senior fellow at the Jamestown Foundation, author of 5 books on China, and of course a regular on our little wireless program. He joins us from Tokyo. And from Washington, Sean Roberts. Sean is the Director of International Development Studies at George Washington University and author of the Roberts Report on Central Asia and Kazakhstan. And I welcome both of you to the program. Willie, China keeps a firm grip on news in and out of the region. To quote Rumsfeld, what are the known knowns at this stage?
Well, Chinese leadership is in a crisis mode. I think in recent memory, I don't recall a single incident when either the head of state or the head of government has to cancel a major meeting overseas to return home to look after domestic crisis. So this one is really big, and it's in a sense quite devastating, because what we are now seeing is open conflict between the majority Han Chinese and the minority Uyghurs. And it doesn't look like as though moving more troops into Xinjiang would solve the problem. So we are talking about a long drawn out conflict between the majority Han Chinese and also ethnic minorities, which is highly disturbing.
Now, this conflict, of course, has been brooding, seething for quite some time, but the ostensible trigger were the factory murders in southern China. That tell us about those.
Well, actually, the root cause of the conflict, of course, lies deep, but the immediate trigger was nothing extremely serious by Chinese standards, because violence on the factory floor is not uncommon. What was uncommon, which took place on June 26th in a toy factory in Guangdong province. A toy factory, yes. In it's owned by a Hong Kong entrepreneur. As you know, Hong Kong entrepreneurs own lots of factories across the border north of Hong Kong. So it's a toy factory with fairly modern facilities. However, the one unusual thing is that they employed about 60-70 Uyghur workers from Xinjiang, and disaffected worker who had been fired, sacked by the factory, spread the rumor on the web that those Uyghur workers had raped a Chinese female worker. So this false rumor actually sparked off a fist fight, a ferocious fist fight between the Han workers and the Uyghurs, leading to the death of two Uyghur workers. But unfortunately, the news was pretty much suppressed by the Guangdong authorities. So what started as a rumor then spread even further afield around the world, and the Uyghurs in Xinjiang pick up the information through the internet, of course, now that there are no borders.
We get the picture. Thanks for that, Willie. Sean, Beijing says that the Uyghur separatists have been responsible for a slew of bombings in recent years, including a couple around the time of the Olympics. Are these protests connected to those bombings, or are we looking at a broader movement?
I think this is definitely a broader kind of grassroots response to the situation in Xinjiang. And of course, if we remember what happened last summer during the Olympics, the one bombing actually was not blamed on Uyghurs. It was several kind of skirmishes in Xinjiang that I think, in my own opinion, it may have been much more related to the type of violence we're seeing now, much more grassroots and not a larger conspiracy, as the Chinese government has claimed.
But there have been attacks on Chinese missions in the Netherlands and Germany, haven't there?
Yes, but again, not bombings. You know, I mean, I think there was a Molotov cocktail thrown at the German embassy, I think, and there's been some flag burning outside the Amsterdam embassy in Netherlands, but. You know, I think that it's hard to suggest that this is a well-organized conspiracy from abroad. I think that really what we're seeing is a reaction to a lot of frustrations that have been building up for quite some time.
Well, let's look at those long-term frustrations, Willie. What exactly do the Uyghurs want? Is it a matter of simply wanting to be treated better by the Chinese government, or do they want secession from China? Do they want to form some sort of independent country?
As in the case of Tibet, the great majority of Uyghurs merely want higher levels of autonomy to which they are perfectly entitled under the Chinese constitution. Because according to the Chinese constitution, Xinjiang, just like Tibet, is an autonomous region which should have their own power to make policies concerning the use of language, education, religion, and so forth. So both of them are just aspiring for a high degree of autonomy.
But both of them, Willie, have been subjected to quite massive transmigration policy, haven't they?
Certainly. Now the Uyghurs, numbering about 9 million, are a minority in their own territory because they are outnumbered by the Han Chinese. Given the climate in Xinjiang, it is relatively easier for Beijing authorities to move more Han Chinese to Xinjiang, whereas in Tibet, of course, because of the high altitude and the low level of oxygen, it is difficult for this transmigration, or what we call sinicization process, to take place. So that's why I think it has to do with economic and social grievances rather than a strong desire for secession.
Sean, I'm looking at a photograph of a very strong-faced woman, and she's the woman who China has accused of inciting the violence, and she's written an op-ed piece in today's Wall Street Journal. Are you across this this piece of prose?
Actually, I haven't read it yet, since it's still early here in D.C., but I am acquainted with the person you're speaking about.
Yeah, she's written the piece, and amongst other things, is calling on the U.S. to establish a consulate there, to act as a beacon of freedom in the environment of fierce repression, etc. I very much doubt that that will be Washington's response.
Yeah, I think that you are probably correct in saying that. There's the Uyghur problem in China has gotten very little international support. I've seen that in a lot of instances, places that might be natural allies to the Uyghurs, such as Turkey and Pakistan and the Central Asian states, have been strongly courted by the Chinese to ensure that they don't allow Uyghur political activity on their territory. And I think you see the similar kind of situation with the United States, where the United States doesn't want to directly enter into a confrontation with China for any number of reasons, economic and political.
Now, I've just discovered her name. I shall attempt to pronounce it. Rebiya Kadir. She's described,
yes,
in effect, as the Dalai Lama of the movement, the spiritual mother of the Uyghurs, and she's spent 6 years in a Chinese slammer, two in solitary confinement. She was released on humanitarian grounds a few years ago. I bet the Chinese are starting to regret that.
Yeah, I mean, she's a very interesting woman because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that she was the first female millionaire in China. And she was, in fact, a part of the establishment to a certain degree. She held a seat in the People's Congress, I believe, in the late 90s. And then as she began to speak out about some of the problems in Xinjiang, she was increasingly silenced and eventually jailed.
Sure. Excuse me. She's claiming there have been forced abortions, the closing of mosques, the prohibition against teaching the Uyghur language in schools. Do you accept the truth of that?
More or less, yes. I mean, the Chinese government has increasingly limited Uyghur language education. They have, since the late 90s, increasingly controlled Islamic institutions. They've made it illegal to set up kind of parallel Islamic institutions. Everything must go through a state structure. They've limited youth from going into mosques. I believe that you have to be over 18 to enter a mosque, which, of course, you know, there's nothing in Islamic law or any of the tenets of Islam that would suggest that. So there's a lot of these issues in Xinjiang that I think have kind of led to the boiling up of this violence.
Willie, are we talking about an ethnic group which has a significant international diaspora, sending back fighting funds, for example, like the Tamils of Sri Lanka used to do?
Well, it is not the case, because compared to the Tibetans, for example, which has a much larger presence overseas, and of course the Dalai Lama is a revered figure, and it is well known amongst international leaders. So the Uyghurs just started trying to establish an overseas organization several years ago. So at this stage, I think it is difficult for them to expect the kind of international moral support which the Tibetans are getting under the Dalai Lama. However, I think the incident has caught the Chinese by surprise, and President Hu Jintao, who for 4 years was the number one official in Tibet, that was from 88 to 92, and who has been personally in charge of ethnic policy in China, is obviously embarrassed.
And it's clearly, Willie, a failure of Chinese intelligence as well. Sean, there's an Australian connection to this story, because the Obama administration asked us to take in several Uyghur detainees from Guantanamo. As you know, the Pentagon announced years ago they were not in enemy combatants, but the Americans didn't want to send them back to China, where they'd almost definitely be shot or tortured, and we have refused to take them. Do you know what's become of them?
Well, I believe right now four of them have come to Bermuda, although there's still some questions about their status there, because there's actually an issue that you may know about in terms of Bermuda's obligations and foreign policy to the UK. And also Palau has agreed to take, I think, 13 of them.
However, major hot potatoes, aren't they, these poor people?
Yeah, and I have to say, I was recently in Albania and spoke to the four Uyghur former detainees who are in Albania, who were released to Albania in 2006, and these people were certainly in the wrong place at the wrong time and victims of circumstance.
Gentlemen, I have to thank you now. Willie Lam, Senior Fellow at the Jamestown Foundation, author of 5 books on China, a regular on our Little Wireless program, and Sean Roberts. Sean is an expert on Xinjiang, the Director of International Development Studies at George Washington Uni, and you can find his blog, The Roberts Report on Central Asia, online.